This is a replay of the Thursday night, April 23rd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, well, I'll make sure it's on mine and get your requests in as well, several of them. Of course, we only have about 11 a night, and I've got more than that to play, so we'll get to as many as we can. Now, before we get to Marty in Whiting, who's going to start the evening off, wanted to go over these collectibles. Now, it had a personal tie-in because, of course, we've been moving stuff around studios and stuff, and you know, we're the opposite of pack rats as far as that goes. Whatever it is, throw it out, you know, and yeah, or donate it, you know, if it's worth something. And believe me, we have our list of those, but invariably, something that you donate or throw out or whatever turns out to be worth a small fortune. So if you are in the process of going through your voluminous stuff, cleaning out for spring cleaning or what have you, keep a few things in mind. Now, before we get to them, the first one, and it's what caused me to think about this other than my incessant cleaning in the studio move, is you don't have this, trust me. But the C-3PO head from The Empire Strikes Back just sold for over $1 million. Yeah, the light-up C-3PO was used on the set during the filming of The Empire Strikes Back in 1980. And it's been at a, you know, prop store, you know, for basically ever. And the family had not decided they were getting rid of it, that who had the ownership of it. Finally, they said, yeah, auction it off. And it went for more than three times the low end of the estimate. It sold for over $1 million. And so there you have it. Now, again, the idea that you'll have something of that, you know, that quality, probably not. But you'd be surprised. You know, we were talking about Beanie Babies the other day because, boy, weren't they for a moment there in the 90s, the big popular item. Yeah, I had a friend years ago in Philadelphia knew that I was driving through Canada. Oh, make sure you get me the Canadian Beanie Baby, which I did. Well, it turns out if the tag is still attached and the item is in mint condition, now some of them, the ones that were in mass production, that's worth a couple of bucks, forget about it. But some of the limited edition Beanie Babies have sold for over $500,000. a lobster named Pinchers, if you have one. That'll bring you $35,000. But some of them, as I say, depending on how rare it is, could bring you $500,000 at auction. So one thing that I saw this, and it kind of hurts my heart, because in one of my other moves, I had all these oil paintings that I never really liked anyway. You know, I'd been dragging them around forever. And finally, I just, you know, I got rid of it with a bunch of furniture. And I was surprised because each one brought me over $100. I thought, hey, that's pretty good. Come to find out, no, they were probably worth more like 10 grand. So before you throw out original oil paintings, even if you think they're ugly, hold on to them, especially if they're equestrian or hunting. The popularity in the 19th century, horses and their riders and all that, each one of them could be worth 10 grand easily. Now, here is one. In fact, we threw some of this stuff out. Maybe I should have wondered about it. But you know, you think about things that are, well, like video game consoles from the 80s. You know, what the hell do you need one of them for? Well, a Nintendo PlayStation sold at auction for $360,000. And of course, it was a limited edition Nintendo. But even so, every price point, yeah, maybe it's only worth $20. That's true. But it could be easily worth $20,000. So I almost hesitate to bring up some of these because I think for some people it's going to encourage them to keep everything they have. And most of what you have is probably junk as far as that goes. But occasionally there's something that's well out there. You know, if you've got the old Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking, if you have a first edition in good condition, that's over $2,000. Anything from women's suffrages, $50, to priceless in some cases. So there again, depending on what it is, it may be little to nothing. But in other things, well, you know, I talk about depression glass. Some of that can be worth a fortune. Mid-century barware, post-World War II, all of these things. And, you know, a lot of it had some gold glitz on it. And, you know, Libby, Federal, Hazel, Culver all made this stuff. And as the craze for retro cocktails is growing, each one of these glasses could be worth $1,500, depending. Yeah. Two colored pieced quilts. Don't bother. $450. Yeah, I know that's pretty good since you probably only paid, you know, $25 for it, but nonetheless, you can't keep everything. But here's one that's a heartbreaker to me because, yeah, in one of my locations, I had a flood, and it was my fault entirely. It's a long story, but, and I was on the, about the 23rd floor, and first I thought, oh my God, I've killed people for 22 floors. No, it wasn't like that. But nonetheless, why I'm bringing this up is I had a lot of concert posters and gone, you know, just they were going to mold and got rid of them. But what's interesting is there are some concert posters that are worth up to $25,000. So, you know, the bottom line is, to some extent, the bigger the name, the better. But to other extent, no. If it's a recognizable name, but it was one of those obscure concerts, you may wind up with some cash. Now, back to the Beatles. If you happen to have that 1966 Shea Stadium Beatles poster, $137,000. Milton Bradley board games. That's a nice thing. That can easily be $800. Got to be in good condition, though, and most of us with our board games are not. And then you have things like the Federal-style bullseye mirror. And these are the kind of things that you might have sitting around your house from, you know, your grandmother's or your great-grandmother's, and you know what to do with it. They were made 1780 to 1830, and they can easily be worth 10 grand now. Yeah, if you're long of tooth, you remember very well the Art Deco clocks. Yeah, Bakelite in every color in the world, usually for the kitchen. Well, bottom line is that those West clocks Bakelite could easily be over $1,000. Lunchboxes, you've probably known about that. Yeah, the Roy Rogers Dale Evans Chow Wagon easily brings $3,000. The Jetsons brings quite a bit of money. Rambo, which is more recent, of course, some cash as well. But Roy Rogers, that's a good one. Duck decoys? Okay, this is danger time because I don't know about you, but this is one of those, like, get this out of the house. Up to $650,000. So if you've inherited a duck decoy, and you think it's ugly as all get out and it looks pretty old and you don't really want it, do not, donate it yet. Baseball cards, of course, you know about that, and some of them are worth the $3.2 million. So obviously, most are worth pretty much nothing, but the ones that are valuable can be very valuable. So if you've come across some old baseball cards while you're cleaning out the attic or not, before you just toss them, you might want to check to see if there's anything in there that's quite rare. Ozark Tourist Pottery. Morton made these, and it was all this swirled pottery stuff. They sold them by the roadside, and on the first U.S. highways, far from interstates. Tourist potteries, if you will, they cost probably less than a dollar. They're worth over $350 now, so that's kind of nice as well. Oh, all those Bakelite radios, those RCA Bakelite radios. And the kind you had on the kitchen table, the one that was in pink or that horrible aqua color. You might think it's just as ugly as all get out, and I'd agree with you. $4,000. RCA brought out a very interesting record player in the 1950s, and remember the big war was Columbia was bringing out the 33 and a third, and RCA was bringing out the 45, and this is where both of these companies were competing, because 78, the shellac records were not the way to go. They were going to use vinyl, and as I say, it was a big war, and ultimately, of course, both prevailed, but RCA, because they were hell-bent to cause you to buy these 45s, put out the Slide-O-Matic. And it's interesting. It will play 45s only, obviously, and you have to insert them one at a time. But it's really neat to look at. And actually, if I had one, which I don't, I'd keep it. But if you do have one, before you chuck it, realize it's probably going to bring you $800, which isn't bad. Of course, Super Bowl memorabilia depends on the Super Bowl and all that. But not unusual that it'll be a few thousand dollars, no matter what. And on it goes. There's a number of others, and you can probably doorstops. The cast iron doorstops, if you have any of those. And again, you might look at these and say, well, this is ugly. Well, one of them sold for $11,000 recently. And the ones that are worth something are the Hubleys. So if it says Hubley on the back and it has a three-digit number, you've got the real deal, and that could be 10 grand. So there, and many, many more as well. Of course, I don't have to tell you about comics. That can be several million, depending. So again, you got stuff in the attic. Don't just toss it. Cereal boxes? Forget about it. This could bring you $100, but what the hell are you going to do with a bunch of cereal boxes? But on the list is, and you can probably look them up for yourself. But if you're cleaning out and you see something that you don't recognize, you might want to check first to see some value there. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Play the first request, which is part of Jimmy P's six-pack. And then Jim from Richmond called, and we're going to get there. And we'll get to Marty from Whiting. Don't go away, Marty, but I got to hear what Jim has to say, because it's been requested that he call, and he has. So all that coming up on WGN Radio. I find her, you know I will. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's one of Jimmy P's sixth one, actually. Bobby Moore and the Rhythm Aces, and just Charmed. It came out on Checker in 1966, but he was about as far from Chicago as you get. He was actually born in New Orleans, but he was raised in Alabama, mostly Montgomery. And when he was in the Army, he joined while he was a teen. He wound up in Fort Benning, Georgia, and formed the first lineup of the Rhythm Aces, which was actually the Fort Benning Marching Band, and they toured the South and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, he put together a new group after he was out of the service and found his way to Muscle Shoals and the Fame Studios and recorded Searching for My Love, which he had written. And Leonard Marshall Chess heard it and immediately bought the release and the right to release it on Checker. And 27 on the pop charts and 7 on the R&B charts. Over 1 million copies sold. Try My Love Again did not do well on the Billboard Hot 100. I think like 1 week for 97 or something. But it was still a great record. But anyway, that's the deal there. All right. Now, I want to mention one more before I leave Antiques alone. Because this one literally scared the hell out of me because I've been throwing out a lot of VHS tapes. I mean, who wants them? Well, if you've got pre-mades, you know, like you know, you've gone to the store and you bought one type thing. This could be $50,000. Okay, so here's what you got to look for. Number one, it can't have made it to DVD or digital. All right, so you want something that didn't. If it's very controversial, like Disney's Song of the South, that's going to be a very high price because, of course, it was pulled from the market. But unpopular titles are better than popular ones, and the horror genre pays the best. So if you've got a VHS a version of some horror movie from, 1978 or whenever, this might be some cash. All right, so we'll leave that where it is. Now, with that in mind, we'll first welcome Jim from Richmond, who's in the land of the living. Jim, how are you?
Hello, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call. And you know that you and John are very important to me. And I've been listening every night, and I've heard my name mentioned. I am just calling you tonight in case people are interested in that colon cancer blood test that I'm taking. And on the 13th, they took my blood, and then I didn't hear back from them until the 21st because they had to mail it to California. And then they told me that we have to verify your insurance and everything before we can process the thing.
Geez.
And they said, click on this link. Well, what do you tell a blind person about clicking on the link?
Oh, God. So, and even so, when you get an email that says click on the link, I would be hesitant to do it. I think you're absolutely right. But we're going to break for the news, and then we'll be right back there. So we'll leave you in your link and find out what happened. Oh, man, frustration. But again, clicking on a link that you got in an email, not a good idea. More coming up on WGN Radio.
Down in your
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Dr. John, that was Don and Beloit who wanted to hear Huey Smith medley. And that was off a 1972 ATCO album, Dr. John's Gumbo, and did a fine job with that, but I wouldn't expect any less. All right, so now we're back to Jim in Richmond. So you get the email, and fortunately you can't see it. I say that because you might have clicked on it. But so you called him, right?
I called the number that was on the original text message, and they told me, we don't handle anything. You have to call this other number. And I was able to have my friend come over and read, you know, I could see the number, but I wasn't sure of the numbers because I can't enlarge a text message. So she gave me the number, and then after she left, I called, and then I talked to this really nice lady named Melody, and I had pre-called Humana to find out if this was covered. And then I'm talking to her on the phone, and it was funny. It sounded like she didn't know anything, but really she did. And I found out that it is covered. If it wasn't covered, it would have cost $1,000.
Well, you weren't doing that.
Right. And then so she said, okay, it's covered. And I told her, well, when I called Humana, they said I might have to pay a $10 copay. And she's looking, it sounded like she was just saying, okay, a $10 copay, you know.
Yeah.
And so then she goes, okay, but I need to send you, you need to sign approval for this. And she goes, I'll send you a link. And I go, I am legally blind. I can't read. So she goes, okay, we'll send you a hard copy. And then when you get it in the mail, you sign it and then send it back. And I said, fine. And then she says, and then she turns around and she says, okay, this is going to take 2 weeks.
Of course.
To process the blood.
Of course.
And I already knew that because, you know, you see all these TV shows where they go, let's check the DNA, and they come back 15 minutes later.
Yeah, right.
And they go, okay, it's Joe Smith, you know. And I know DNA takes like 2-3 weeks to figure. And if they're looking for your genetic profile, it's not going to be overnight, you know. So that's, you know, if anyone's interested in that Shield blood test, it takes 2 weeks. So
right.
She's going to mail me the paperwork to sign the permission. And, you know, and if it took 7 days for FedEx to send it to California, it's probably going to take another 8 or 9 days to get here from the mail.
Right, and then it has to go back. So you're looking
right.
at probably toward the end of next month you'll know.
Right.
I hope your sample stays valid that long.
That's what I was thinking because, you know, they said they packed it in ice. Well, you know, I was hoping it was dry ice, but then I don't even think dry ice lasts a week, you know?
Well, right. I mean, I would hope that they actually are processing it, even though they won't tell you the results until they get your insurance information. I would hope they're not holding
right.
it up because that doesn't make sense.
And I'm just letting you know all this for anybody that wants to take that test.
All right.
And my the guy that's supposed to give me the colonoscopy said he's not going to do anything until he hears
right.
the end of that test.
Right, because
and then
the final
realization is she said, well, we'll send you an email. I do not give out my email anymore because
right.
I can't read them. So she says, we'll send you a message about the results, and then we'll send one to your doctor. And I says, just send it to my doctor and have my doctor call me because I'm not going to fight how I'm going to read all this stuff because Sari reads all my messages and all my text messages and all that stuff.
Mm.
And, you know, and Sari, you know, if she asks for a phone number, it's 296,352,450. You know?
That's great.
And
yeah.
you're trying to write the number down.
Right, right, right.
Know?
That's classic.
And,
yeah, and, just classic.
And I just love it. 296
yeah,
billion.
Yeah, good. Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
542 million. 5,082, you know.
It's not an information superhighway. It's a dirt road. All right.
Right.
So, well, so you'll find out in about a month. Now, so tell me, how are you doing otherwise?
other than I am totally, I don't know if I'm frustrated or depressed. I'm totally, I'm having trouble dealing with. I just went Wednesday to the eye doctor, and it was just like, okay, here's your shot. Okay, see you later. Goodbye. And I went to the glaucoma guy, and at least he gave me eye drops that cost me like $50 a drop. He gave me three of them, and I totally appreciated that. But to me, it seems like every day I'm getting weaker and weaker.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I'm going to admit this. I get up in the morning, and I look around and let the dog out, and I go, and I just, you know, start to cry because it's, you know,
let me ask you something, Jim, because we've talked a lot about this over the years, you know, and you know my stance on it. But a while ago, you were clearing out the house because you were getting to the point where you were ready to make a move to a place that would be more accessible.
Right.
What's going on with that?
We discussed that and everything, and everyone I talk to wants me to go, and I'm the one that's fighting it.
Well,
and I come to the realization that that's, you know, I cannot afford to go into a place with assisted living, and if Powerball will help me.
Well, but you also can't afford to stay in the situation you're in. That's
right.
The problem. And so, you know,
right.
I'll cut to the chase. But anyway, I'm glad to hear from you, and I'm sorry it is this tough. But unfortunately, no miracle is going to happen. It's going to come down to you embracing the idea that you have to become independent. And you can do that, but it's a steep learning curve.
Right, and I'm learning more and more about being independent.
Okay.
And then my friend who used to take me shopping and now does my shopping, she got a new phone, that stupid stroke that I had, phone, and she is working with her daughter, and then even though she's going to be up north at her campground, they're going to work together to order the stuff from Walmart and have it
And that's good, but we need to get where you're ordering this stuff from Walmart. You know, you've got to find a way not to have to depend on people.
Right, and I've tried that, and I can't read anything.
I know you can't. I know you can't, and there are other ways around that. We're going to assume you can't read. So, you know, we've talked about a lot of it, but I would say do some investigation. Do not depend on people. It will not be good in the long run. All right. Well, good to hear from you.
Glad
on an even keel, so to speak.
And then if you can please thank Fran for everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, a lot of people pulling for you. And our frustration is just that you're not yet at a point where you can embrace doing what you have to do to be independent. But hopefully you will.
I'm working on it. I really am.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I'll look forward to a report on
that.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Absolutely. Always good.
Thanks, John.
Okay. Good deal.
Bye.
So, all right. So there you have that. Tough all the way around. Tough. Not trying to diminish that. But if you've been listening regularly, you know many of our callers have been working with Jim to get him to find a way to embrace independence. And no, he's not going to be able to read it. We understand that. And that's okay. And Siri reading it out will be insufficient as well. But there are other options. All right. So Marty in Whiting, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you doing this evening, Raleigh?
All right. How about yourself, Marty? What's up?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm 63 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I was raised to respect my elders. So even if I was the first call, John's more important to go first, even if I wasn't the first call. But anyway, I'm glad to hear. I haven't heard from you in a while either. So.
Exactly. So I know a lot of people were asking, so that's why I did that. So what are we going to talk about?
Yeah. Well, I got one thing real quick, since you brought up antiques and stuff.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I think it's Freeman's Auctions, they auctioned off, his last name was Astor from the Titanic.
Yeah.
His watch.
Yeah.
$1 million.
$1 million. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, geez. Must
they
be
even
nice.
Had the auction live on WGN last night before you came on.
Ah.
And then they had the guy that was running the auction, I'm assuming. And, yep, that went for $1 million. Like, wow. So So you jogged my memory about that.
Yeah.
I got a request later on, but here's the main reason I'm calling.
Uh-huh.
About a couple weeks ago, it was a blast from the past, something about a timetable on WGN.
Okay.
And it must have been, it was an old interview with Dick Biondi.
Oh, yeah.
Is his name right?
Yeah, Dick Biondi, absolutely.
He was very interesting. It was an hour and a half show. I'm a night owl, so I listened to the whole thing. And he talked about seeing the Beatles at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
When he was a Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, when he was at KRLA, he did the Beatles thing, of course.
So what I want to ask you, have you and him crossed paths? Because is he still alive?
No, unfortunately, he died. He was 90 years old because he was born in 32, and he died in June of 2023. And, we crossed paths, but we were never like friends or buddies or anything like that. I didn't know him that well by any means. For 10 years, he was doing mornings at WNMB in North Myrtle Beach. And it was actually the reason that he wound up coming back to Chicago is our morning man at WGN was doing a TV show at the time and highlighted him. And next thing you know, he was on BBM FM. So, yeah, he was originally, I think he was born in Endicott, but he was on a bunch of stations that no one would care about. But the first big one where all the kids knew because of the great nighttime signal was WKBW in Buffalo. And then he got the gig at LS. And, as far as that goes, and that then he went out to L.A. to KRLA. He came back to Chicago at CFL. And then he was at MAQ for a while, and he went to BZ in Boston. And from there, like I say, I think it was on SAI 1360 in Cincinnati briefly, and then NMB in North Myrtle Beach for 10 years. And then after Bob Surratt brought him back, literally, he could thank Bob Surratt for that. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. BBM FM and then JMK. He was at JMK for years in Chicago. And then I guess LSFM for a while, I think was the last one. There might have been something after that, but that's the last I knew. But he was... absolutely the real deal, especially as a night guy. He used to say he'd been fired 24 times, and absolutely I believe it because he had a temper. Oh man. And when he was at KRLA, actually, his son married a girl I used to know there, Penny. And Dick had a temper, no doubt about that. But he also was tremendously entertaining. And what's interesting, like I say, when he was at KRLA, that's when he introduced the Beatles at the Hollywood Bowl concert. But interestingly, before that, when he was at WLS, he arguably played the first Beatles record in the U.S. It was about February of '63, about a year before Meet the Beatles hit. And that's because, if you probably remember, VJ had the rights due to they had Frank Ifield and the Beatles came with them, and they released Please Please Me. And he played it. And of course, it was not a hit. But then, a couple years later, while he's in LA, he introduces the Beatles and the Rolling Stones at Hollywood Bowl. Wow. So, yeah, he was.
Did you know this about him?
What?
That, bear with me because I got CRS at my age.
Yeah, don't we all?
He went to somewhere down south, and he recorded songs along the lines of Ray Stevens. And I don't know if it's just a couple songs or a whole album.
In Nashville. In Nashville. Yes. Yes. And
was it an album or just a couple songs, Raleigh?
You know, I don't know if they even released on that, but it was definitely Nashville. Yeah. I know there was 45s, but there could have been absolutely more than that. And of course, yeah, I think there was an album. I think it was Dick Biondi's favorites with Ray Stevens, and this was right about the time he went to KRLA when it happened. And so Dick Biondi's favorites. And that probably, I'm going to look at Discos. I bet you, if you wanted that album, I bet you could buy it really cheaply. Let me see. Never tried to. Biondi's favorites.
Well, this young woman, and
$9.
I noticed how old this interview was, but yeah. a man and a woman, and they were young people.
Yeah.
They got a kick out of interviewing him for this hour and a half, which...
Oh, I'm sure.
I was glued to the radio.
I'm sure. Well, right now you can get it for $9. The lowest it sold for was $3.45. The most it ever sold for was $47. There's four available right now, including one for $9 with $6 shipping, another one for $10, $5 shipping. So basically $15 if you wanted it. You know, hell, I may buy it, you know, what the hell. I might have it, which is really embarrassing, but you know, probably not in very good condition. So
I gotta tell you this, real quick. I don't know where this was at, but Michael Landon had to be awfully young, and I guess wherever this concert was at, Jerry Lee Lewis was on stage first.
Uh-huh.
And it probably way back, because, you know, I guess Michael Landon was a heartthrob, apparently. And Dick said, he goes, Jerry Lee walked off the stage, and walked up to Michael. He goes, top that, pretty boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
I fell off my couch laughing.
I think that's because they were both in the movie High School Confidential in 1958. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder
yeah,
then.
I think that was part of, and there was a cameo with Jerry Lee Lewis in it. So yeah. And Michael Landon did record a couple records. You don't want to hear them. So, all right. Well, good to talk to you. Yeah, exactly. I think one was Give Me a Little Kiss, Will You, Huh? So,
okay, I want to throw in a request real quick then.
Okay, what is it?
I know you don't play a whole lot of rock and roll, but did you hear Dave Mason passed away Sunday?
Yeah. What do you want to hear?
Now, you got to help me out on this. It's when he left Traffic and he went out on his own. Something like, you and I will disagree to disagree.
Oh,
you
yeah.
ain't no bad person. I'm not no bad person. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
From maybe the early 70s.
Yeah, you and I, that you and I disagree thing does absolutely make sense.
You have it?
So I'm sure, unfortunately, I do. But I'm trying to remember the title. But it'll come to me, and I will be... I'll be happy. It was on Island, I think, not on Blue Thumb. I'm pretty sure. But I'll look for it.
All right. I don't expect to hear it tonight, but Monday maybe.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, thanks.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you and I will agree to disagree. I'm sure. Well, all right. We'll pick it up in moments here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. We'll forego the bumper, but I did find We Just Disagree, which is a record that Marty wanted, and I will play that. But I've only got a minute and a half left, and I want to spend it with Catherine. She's a first-time caller in Salem, Oregon. So welcome to WGN Radio, Catherine.
Hi, Raleigh. I lived in Chicagoland area and listened to Johnny and Steve and Johnny.
Sure.
And they were the ones that did the Dick Beyond. It was a replay from years ago.
Okay.
It was on the Saturday night before Easter Sunday.
Okay.
And it was a great interview. But I'm calling to tell you that I enjoy your show. I listen every night from 8 to 11 my time.
Well, thank you.
Sometimes I fall asleep, but I catch up on Friday night.
Yeah, well, that's so nice. I'm thrilled. So, what got you to Salem from Chicago?
Oh, well, I was raised in Los Angeles.
Me too.
And
whereabouts?
Whittier.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah.
And I heard Beyond E on KRLA.
I'm
going to be 79 next week.
Oh, sure. Well, you were perfect. You were perfect for that. You were right at the age. Yeah, Dick Biondi, Johnny Hayes, and everybody else, of course.
All of those guys, yes. And the company I worked for my whole career transferred me from Los Angeles to Chicago.
Ah, okay.
And I spent 8 winters back there.
Well, at least they clean the roads when it snows. You got to give it that.
Yes, but being a Southern California girl.
Well, there is that.
Beach.
Yeah, I know. It's like suddenly moving to Big Bear. Can you hold on through the news? Will you wait for me?
I will.
Okay, don't go away. Stay right where you are.
I will.
All right, it's a good deal. Want to find out more about Catherine, and we also have Brian and Linda and Cindy and Eduardo, and there will be a line available for you too after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Haven't seen you in a while. How've you been? Have you changed your style? And do you think that we've grown up differently? Don't seem the same. Seems you've lost your feel for me. So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. After I hung with Marty, I thought to myself, wait a minute, I played that record. Unfortunately, I know I have, which made me think that wasn't Right After Lit Traffic. That had to be like a decade, and he didn't leave, by the way, got fired. Steve Winwood was just awful. You know, I don't like the way you play. I don't like the way you sing. I don't like you. Get out of the band, literally. Yeah, and they went back, you know, when Winwood was in Buffalo, Springfield, and all that. But anyhow, I digress. It was 77, and it was on Columbia. And as soon as I thought of that, I said, I got that record. All right, so there it is. And yes, rest in peace, Dave Mason. All right, so 79 years old. And he announced that he was stopping touring. Been about a year ago now because of health, and I don't know what the issue was, but not totally unexpected. Now, back to Catherine, our first-time caller from Salem, who's originally from Whittier. So, on Saturday nights, did you cruise Atlantic and Whittier? Catherine? Are you still there? No, don't tell me we've lost Catherine. Oh, I hope not. It seems like we have. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'll disconnect that line and I'll free up another line. And Catherine, call me back. I don't know what happened, but I was looking forward to continuing the conversation, but nonetheless, very glad that she's listening. All right, so with that in mind, we have Brian, and Brian is in Miami. All right, that's Brian with a Y in Miami with two I's. What's going on, Brian?
And Raleigh with a bunch of L's. hey, good. Well, from my perspective, good morning, good evening to you, and most important, everybody tuned to 720 kilohertz over the mighty WGN. And speaking of Salem, Oregon, normally I wouldn't digress this way, but it so happens my second grade teacher lives there now, or according to the internet, if you can believe anything on the internet. And also, the only rich uncle or rich relative I ever had was in Salem, and I visited him there with my family in 1960. But this is for, and she's has a very unusual name. She's still alive, apparently. My second grade teacher was in, I went to school in St. Louis, but she's out in Salem now, and her name is Ariel, with a very unusual spelling, Firth, and that's pretty unusual, F-I-R-T-H. And normally I wouldn't even waste your time, much less the listener's time, with this, but there's just a tiny chance that she might be tuned, because she was just the kind of person to listen to talk radio. Uh-huh. I mean, we're going back to 1962 here. I happen to be of a certain age, as they say, and she taught me something that nobody else in the class was interested in. We're talking about when John Glenn went up.
Okay.
And as you remember, but not enough Americans remember, his was the third American flight. Let's not even consider the Soviets that beat us to the punch, not just with Sputnik, but also, of course, Yuri Gagarin on, I guess, the 12th of April, 1961. Exactly a century to the day, by the way, Yuri Gagarin went up for one orbit, a century to the day of the bombardment of Fort Sumter by Beauregard and all the others that started the Civil War. Exactly a century to the day. A lot of people don't know that, but now everybody in the WGN audience does. But the reason I wanted to say hello to her, and she just might be the type to stay up late at night listening to talk radio, because she was such beyond the realm of most of my teachers over the years, and I have a lot of respect for all of them, but her in particular, because when Glenn went up, she made a point to explain to us second graders that Glenn wasn't just going up and down for 15 or so minutes. That was the case, as you know, for America's first man in space on the 5th of May. And I didn't look these dates up. I remember these. On Friday, the 5th of May, is when Alan Shepard went up for about 15 minutes and came back safely and lived to walk on the moon with Apollo 14, as you will remember. And then the second one was the ill-fated Gus Grissom, who darn near drowned when his capsule, I believe it was the Liberty 7, one of the seven, they were all called seven because it was the original seven astronauts, obviously, the Mercury. But the second one sank and wasn't recovered for decades, and Grissom got in a lot of trouble with the NASA for it.
Yeah.
It was a minor scandal, and he was still set to probably be the first man on the moon. Not Neil Armstrong, right. But then, of course, Apollo 1 in 1967. That was it for Gus Grissom. But, again, the reason I wanted to say hello to Mrs. Firth, or Miss Firth, when I knew her, is because nobody in the class was interested. It was just another guy in space, even though the principal brought the entire five, six classes, up to six grades, into the auditorium for every launch, including Alan Shepard. And I remember them like they were yesterday. A lot of the kids just were, they're going up in space. Well, but I was fascinated by the fact that the difference between John Glenn and his two previous American astronauts, not to mention the two Russians that did orbit, the Russians never did the up and down thing. They went straight into orbit with Gagarin in 61. But John Glenn went around the Earth. But I didn't understand that because I didn't read the New York Times in second grade. But I had Miss Firth, and I still credit her, think about her, and the best wishes out there in Salem, Oregon. Oregon, I should pronounce it correctly. That said, I want to do a couple of quick obituaries. I'm sure you know about Alan Osmond.
Yes.
You can't call him the patriarch of the Osmonds because he wasn't the father, but he was the eldest of the singing brothers.
Right.
And then also Rod Martin. You may not know that name, but he's important in NFL history, and I'll tell you why if you're interested. One thing I won't do is waste anybody's time, much less the wonderful Raleigh James's time, with blather about the NFL draft. There was a reason it was never televised until a couple, three decades ago. And the reason is it's boring. It's also dim-witted, but it's boring to watch it. But now they jazz it up and they build all these sets for the draftees to come through and all of that. I'll tell you the last time, Raleigh, that I cared about the NFL draft, and I'm a hardcore NFL guy. My dad in St. Louis had four season tickets every season for the St. Louis Cardinals, now the Arizona Cardinals, of course. But I love the NFL, but I love the NFL on the field. The last time I was interested in the draft was, I believe, was the 1966 draft for the Cardinals, and they drafted this guy, and I used to know his name, but it doesn't come to mind right now, and I didn't want to look it up. I could have looked it up, but that would be cheating. I try to do stuff off the top of my head for you because, this is radio. We don't want to be working off of paper. We want to be working out of our minds. And you might say, well, you are out of your mind, Brian with a Y, that radioactive guy, but I'm not out of my mind, and I hope to make that real clear. But the last time I was interested in the draft was the Cardinals in St. Louis. There drafted some guy, and everybody's talking around town, oh, this guy's going to take us to the Super Bowl. So I went I was attending Harry Truman Middle School in those days. I went to school. I was going up and down the hall saying, man, the Cardinals are Super Bowl bound. This new guy's going to be great. He didn't even make the team by the time the season started. That's why I don't pay attention to the NFL draft, and all of those lunkheads on the sports talk stations should do the same. That said, I not only do I have a couple obituaries for you, but I even have, if I hear you correctly, and I'm not sure I do, at 71, I don't know if I hear as precisely as I should. Is the hotel you lived in, as I guess an adolescent down here, is it in Bal Harbor or Bar Harbor?
No, Bal Harbor, the Americana. It's no longer there. But I'm assuming, by the way, if you went to Truman Middle, you grew up in Crestwood?
Well, you're reading my mind again.
Nope. Oh, I just know St. Louis.
How would you know where Harry Truman Middle School is in suburban St. Louis? How would you know that? I gather part of your career you spent on the airwaves. I never heard you in St. Louis as a kid, and I'm the lesser for it. But how would you even know about Harry Truman Middle School?
I just knew where it was because I passed by it, but I remember it being in Crestwood. It was like Park.
Well,
it
it's
like,
adjacent to Crestwood. Better describe it as being on the edge of Sunset Hills.
Okay.
And I was actually from Concord Village after moving out of Sunset Hills. But I was always on the southwest side of St. Mm-hmm. Louis in those days. And I'm proud of that. But you know, my family's buried there for the most part. And I don't get back home long enough or often enough, but I'm proud and think it was a better place than a lot in America. I mean, I've lived on both coasts, 20 years on the West Coast, about 20 years on the East Coast, a couple years in Chicago working in television, and then half a dozen other cities doing talk radio around the lower 48. But St. Louis strikes me as a good place to be raised because, well, it's in the center, obviously, but more important, it instills in you, or at least it did in me, values that if I wouldn't have been fortified with them, by the time I got to the East Coast, the first time living there at Boston University, that city would have destroyed me. And the same thing with Los Angeles. Going to Hollywood is always a risk, or at least it was for me. And when I drove out there with less than $1,000 in a beat-up car in 1980 and arrived in June 1980, all I was another starving artist out there. There was no guarantee anything was going to work out for me. And if I didn't have those values instilled in me that I think are, let us say, a little more true blue American than we hear on the coasts or that we read about on the coast. If I wouldn't have had that, I don't think I would have made it in Los Angeles, much less onto the airwaves, as I've been lucky enough to be. I don't compare my career to yours. It's not to be compared at all. It's totally incomparable. But I'm proud of what I did. And I really think St. Louis, growing up in St. Louis, may have contributed to that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I love your energy, and it gave me time to finish a sandwich and a Coca-Cola, so thank you for that.
Okay, well, a fact check, not on you, but on me. I'm writing a book, finishing it, actually. I've been working on it for many years, last couple of years, pretty much full-time. It's only going to be about 350, 360 pages, and it's about a guy that, somebody told me you don't like him too much. It's a rock and roll book, but this is a fact that I need checked. Because I mentioned him, I know you know the call letters, KXOK in St. Louis. But what about Johnny K? I have occasion to cite him. I'm not quoting him. I could. I remember a lot of his stuff. I know a lot of his DJ work on tape. But I'm not quoting him. I'm just writing about him because he's intersecting with the subject of my book. And the problem is I can't determine if his last name was K-A-Y, as I've seen it a couple of times over the years. I've seen it many times as Johnny K, just the initial K. And, of course, I remember him getting a call on the air saying, hey, are you the same guy who sings for Steppenwolf? Because, of course, the front man for Steppenwolf, I don't know if it was his real name, but he went by John K. And he said, no, that's not me. That's another guy. But I would really appreciate it if not only you could tell me if it was Johnny, just capital K, maybe not.
I think it was K-A-Y-E.
Well, yeah, that's where it's in a number of things. By the way, do you have any stories about playing poker with him or something like that? I'm sure you must have met him.
The only person I was very close to at KXOK was Don Pietro Monaco, who was the original Johnny Rabbit. Well, not the original, but he was Johnny Rabbit.
Yeah, I know. There's two Johnny Rabbits.
Well, Ron Ells being the other one, of course. But
when I was not last in St. Louis, but about 20 years ago, I had occasion to get together with him. I had a meeting with him, and I have to admit, I should have known about the to Johnny Rabbit's thing, and I, well, he explained it to me, and I was embarrassed that I didn't already know that. Well, you want to explain how, why there's two Johnny Rabbits, and the audience should know that there were two T's at the end of Rabbit.
Yeah, it's because stores had the name, is what it was. So when Ron left, and Don Pietromonaco was in many ways more the definitive Johnny Rabbit as far as the kids. He took over around 64 to 68 when Els left. But when he left, he couldn't take the name. So that was what happened.
Right, but there was quite a rivalry, according to several pieces I've read in the local St. Louis press.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as far as that goes, sure. But
okay.
Depending upon how old you were at the time, most people really remember Don Pietromonaco a lot more than Ron Els, you know, and his character, Brunion J. Grunion, that whole deal.
Well, of course.
That,
yeah. Yeah, but I wouldn't be one of them because I didn't have a meeting with the other one.
But I'll tell you, I remember so fondly, I shouldn't say this because, of course, it was terrible. It was the 80s. And Don called me up. He said, get down here. And he used to live on a boat in Marina Del Rey. And so I said, you're going to love this. And so I get there. And he's got all the tapes, a ton of them, of what happened when Bob Cuban's lead singer, whose name right now is escaping me, but was found in the septic tank. And you know that whole story, I'm sure.
And, I don't know the septic tank story.
Oh, you don't? Oh, this was an amazing story. But I'm trying to think of his name. This terrible that I can't think of it right now, but I will. But anyway, he was kind of Peck's bad boy as far as that goes, and he went off on a gig. I remember this very well. It was December 27th, 1982. He was going to go to Pittsburgh, and he never showed up there. He never showed up anywhere. He was just gone. And so everybody wondered what happened to him. And what happened was years later, he was found floating in the septic tank, and you gotta understand how that happened. As far as that goes, his second wife, oh God, had gotten together with
him. Oh, wait a second! Are you talking about Walter Scott,
yes,
the front man for,
yes,
Bob Cuban and the
right,
Inmen?
Yes, Walter Scott.
Oh, I missed that. It's my old man's hearing. Sorry.
Yeah, I know that story.
Okay. For sure.
Right.
It was out in St. Charles, which is over the Missouri River.
Okay.
A little northwest.
I hate to
of
do
St.
this.
Louis.
I hate to do this, but I'll be in trouble if I don't go right now because I'm blowing a break and the news. I'll talk to you later.
So
thank you.
We have time for the obits.
Yeah. Oh, the obit. What obit?
The two obits.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, then.
The Osmond and Rod Martin.
Right. Okay. I'll mention them both. I promise. And thank you. Appreciate it. Brian with a Y. Talk to you soon. We'll pick it up there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Early Clovers, 1953 on Atlantic, and that was Jimmy P's six-pack. We have two more to go, and hopefully we'll get there tonight, and a fine choice all the way around. There will be no Osmond's records no matter what, but we will talk about Alan because he was the oldest of the family in terms of the kids. We will do that, and we'll talk about Ron as well. But Catherine called back. All right, in Salem. Welcome back, Catherine. Are you there? We lost her again. Well, oh well. I appreciate it. And I don't blame her. And I appreciate all of you hang on, but I don't blame her. And she will call back again in the future, I hope, and we'll talk about cruise in Atlantic and Whittier and all sorts of other things, including Salem. But Linda is in Richland Park, so Linda, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, I was sitting here trying to keep myself woke. I said, "Ooh,
oh, man.
I'm just about to nod off."
Oh, Jesus. I can understand but, that. So how are you feeling?
I feel pretty good, you know. I'm hanging in there, so.
When you headed to Florida?
May the 5th. That's my appointment date,
okay.
May 5th.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So hopefully they could do something good for me. They said it was a possibility, so I'm just waiting to see what's going to happen. But in the meantime, I was just, you know, maybe I might get a second opinion from another doctor while I'm here, if I could find a decent doctor that, you know,
yeah,
would be interested in really helping me and not just sucking up my insurance
right.
money
yeah.
off my insurance card. But I was calling about the antiques, though, because
yes.
I have an antique. I have a beautiful antique. At least it's beautiful to me. It's got five clowns on it with different facial expressions. I don't know what they call it, but it was a name for that painting. It was a painting, and it was also on a wooden plaque. I got the one. It was on a wooden plaque. You know, it's a painting. Someone beat me to that and bought that.
Uh-huh.
But it's beautiful. So I was wondering, do you know anything about the clown? Is there anything about clown paintings or anything?
I have absolutely no idea. I know I've seen that, like the two crowns was a picture that somebody did and all that. So, and of course, wood crown decor is not unknown. So it exists, but exactly what it would be worth, I have no idea.
Yeah, but the painting I'm talking about, it has five clowns on it, and they have different facial expression. It is so pretty. And they, you know, one look like he's sad, the other one is happy, the other one is laughing with confusion. You know, they have different facial expressions.
Right, the emotions.
It's so beautiful.
Sure. Yeah.
It's really beautiful. So I'm going to try to check it out. I thought I mentioned it. I said maybe somebody might know something about those five facial expressions. And I also have a lot of antique, what do they call it, depression glass?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, my grandma gave me a set when I got married in 74.
Uh-huh.
And I bought a lot from going to the flea markets. Beautiful crystal. It looks like crystal jewelry, but it's not really. I don't believe it's crystal. And I got a compact, and it has like it looks like a little diamond, but it's really rhinestones inside of the compact. It's real pretty, and it even has the powder compress still in it, but I know that would probably be worth something. But I tried to go to put in to go to the show, the Antique Road Show, but that's like getting on Bozo.
Right, yeah, right, exactly, yeah.
Trying to get a kid. You never could get your child on Bozo. Only people that went to Bozo was the workers' children, and they had to have a connect, otherwise
right.
you would never be on
right.
Bozo. I said, it's just a damn, a darn shame, because my kids from 5 years old on until they got too old, they wanted to play that bucket game. Never could. So what we decided to do when we have birthday parties, we made our own buckets. You know, the kids could throw the ball in the bucket when I give them birthday parties. But I just thought about it. I said, well, I was going to call you in reference to those my painting. And then I have another painting that had, it's peons. It's an old painting, and they're in like a cellar where they make wine. It's beautiful. It is just beautiful. And they had people sitting around looking at this guy pour up the wine. Now, I know that should be worth something, but it's beautiful. And I just thought about my antiques. I said,
yeah,
things I had, I didn't keep, like the Beanie Babies that...
Right.
you know, I didn't have any girls, but I just bought it just for GP to sit up, you know, sit up around in the house. I thought about that. So all them Beanie Babies throw it away now. My son got tons of baseball cards, so I said he might have something.
Yes, that's the thing. You know, most of them, whether it's Beanie Babies or Depressionware or anything, most of it's pretty worthless. But if you have one of those rare pieces or one of those rare cards or what have you, that can be worth a small fortune. So it's usually the thing that was a very limited supply to begin with.
Okay, yeah, well, I doubt if I had any of that because I throw away so much stuff I had, you know. I had posters. I know my friend, he went to concerts, every concert there ever was back in the 60s and in the 70s and the 80s. He had posters. And do you know those darn things caught on fire? Lightning struck the garage where he had them. He lost all those posters. I'm pretty sure he had some posters that was worth something.
Probably so. Absolutely.
I said, well, if the money's for you, good. But if it's not for you, it's just not for you.
Yeah.
So I said, well, that's how it be sometimes. You know, you have nice things. I think a person should just buy what you like. Don't just buy because you think it's an antique. Just buy what you like.
Exactly. I agree 100% on that.
Yeah, when you leave here, you can't take it with you anyway. So
you
what
betcha.
The difference is in me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But I'd like to also you to play a song or two for me. I do like the song by the Four Tops. He said, if you feel that you can't go on,
Reach out,
song.
I'll be there. Reach out, I'll be
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah, I love that song.
Okay.
And then also, I like the song by Boogaloo and his crew.
Oh, yeah.
That's your big fat lie.
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. And then there's one other one that I'd like you to play. Now that we found love, what are we going to do with it? I can't think who makes that song.
I don't know. Do you have any other lyrics?
Now that we found love, what are we gonna do with it? I can't think who made that song. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Would this be like about early 90s?
I think so. Around
okay.
that time.
I think it's Heavy D.
Heavy D?
Yeah, Heavy D and the Boys, Now That We Found Love.
Yeah, I don't know. Heavy D, could be, but they sung in harmony. They was all in harmony.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was like a Jamaican tune or something.
Let me see if I have this on this computer. And if I do, we can hear some of it. All right. Oh, God, I've got it as a WAV file. God, now I don't know why I did that. But all right, let's hear it.
Yeah, that's it. That's the sound. Yeah, that's the one. And that's by Heavy D?
Yeah, Heavy D and the Boys, B-O-Y-Z. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I really like that. I used to sing that when I would go to work in the morning because I would be so bored. And I was a counselor for many, many years, about 20 years, and we go in our office Monday morning. I said, oh, Lord, got to start this, all this paperwork.
Yeah.
I started singing now that I was singing that, and we would share the office. It was two people in one office at my job. And so
that was a big record. It was on MCA. And it was about 1991. And, yeah, I don't know why I have it as a WAV file, but I got it.
Okay, well, maybe you might be able to play this for
right.
me, those songs. I'm not going to hold up any more of your time.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Thanks
I love
calling.
Your show. And you have, and Jim, I think he I hope you do well.
I do too.
Testing and everything.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, well,
talk
I'm
going to
let you go.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed. 888-876-5593 would be 8888-RALEIGH. And, oh my God, apologies to everybody who's been hanging on for far too long. Eduardo for one of them. And we also have Karen and Victor and Debbie and Cindy. So, and one line available for you if you want it, coming up on WGN Radio.
Control our destiny. We owe it to ourselves to live happy eternally.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, this is the original Now That We Found Love, the 1974, the OJs. And this, I had to explain, why do you have a heavy D file on your computer? Well, you know, because the original was the OJs. And I was on Philadelphia International, and Gamble and Huff wrote it, and it was almost a hit. And, or not. And yes, Heavy D in 1991 did a fine version of it, but that was the original. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. Let's see what we've got here. I'm trying to see who's been hanging around forever. I believe Debbie in Raleigh's been hanging on. So, Debbie, welcome to WGN Radio. Here's been,
yeah.
There you are. There you are.
On the nice, I think about calling. Yeah, and I get tired of something, and that's why I do call in. You have so many callers ahead of me, or no lines available. But I'm at a local hospital tonight, trying to wait for the procedure tomorrow that's going to check for heart blockages.
Oh, jeez.
And I don't usually get nervous, but I guess I wanted somebody that could tell me, hey, you're going to be okay.
Debbie, I absolutely understand. There is nothing worse than the night before a surgery. And even though this is more of a test than anything else, it's still invasive and you're still going to do it. And absolutely, the night before is just hell. And I don't care how many surgeries you've had, how many procedures.
Yeah.
I can't tell you about that night before. It sucks. So I'm so sorry you're having to go through that. And we're with you all the way. Obviously, you're going to come through this with no problem. But, yeah, convincing yourself of that right now is harder than we'd imagine. So I understand that.
I've got an IV on the back of the left hand, another one on the right elbow inside, you know, and then this thing on my chest.
Uh-huh.
It's making sure that my heart rate doesn't change.
Right.
But, boy, and so I'm missing events that I wanted to go to and everything. But
now, after the procedure, are you going to be able to go home tomorrow?
They said if they didn't have to put a stent in, I could go home tomorrow.
Okay.
If not, they would keep me till Saturday.
Interesting.
So, yeah, and you know, you wouldn't live the thing. You have to change when something unexpected comes up. You know, I had several things planned for tomorrow and Saturday.
Well, of course.
But I've got an intake. 60 years ago, my twin died, and I recorded a 45 record of two gospel songs.
Yeah?
And I've got about 5 copies left. I said I bet nobody would pay anything for them. But anyway, when you were talking about antiques, that made me think of that.
Yeah.
The other thing, two more things. I'm not going to take an hour. But when I went by ambulance yesterday, it made me think about the annual ambulance plan that they have that covers your household for a certain price for a year. And I can't remember the amount, but one time it was $60, but I don't know now. It may have gone up like everything else, but I'm going to certainly check on that. And maybe other people might want to know.
And what does it cover?
It covers your ambulance trip.
Okay.
If you don't have it, I mean, I don't know what else it covers, but, you know, if you don't have it, you've got to pay whatever the interest doesn't cover, and that can run into a lot of money.
Now, let me ask you, with this plan, let's say that you're calling the ambulance and you don't want to go to the closest hospital. You want to go to the hospital of your choice. Will it cover that?
I sure hope so, and I'm going to be sure to ask that.
Yeah, because that's the thing most people care about. Where are they taking you? Because very often the closest isn't your first choice.
Well, the reason for that in my case is the stupid Medical Advantage plan dropped coverage not long after the open enrollment ended for the hospital that's closest to me. So I have got to ask that question.
Well, Advantage, unfortunately, is like an HMO on steroids, and you don't have a lot of options with that. The good news is, of course, there's no premiums, but the bad news is, you're not the master of your own destiny when you're dealing with Advantage.
But they want to give you calls about the Medicare gift back, and I'm like, it doesn't apply in most cases.
Right.
But I wanted to tell Jim, please work on getting yourself together. Go through HUD or whatever service you can, and please look into getting blood show three. And the other suggestion, which may or may not be advisable, I have a very special friend on my internet account, and she can go in and look at my email and click on things for me.
Right.
You know, I had something one day. It was a document that I had to sign to make a payment for somebody, a hotel stay or something. And the stupid thing had a place where you had to draw your signature. And there's no way on this green earth that you can do that on a blind show phone.
Right.
No way. And they didn't have the audio option. And if I hadn't had that, I would have had to take a taxi and draw the money out of the bank and pay the person's stay. YouTube Premium is available at no cost on the shell phone. And, I mean, so many features. I can, you know, bring in all the details. But they have financing. You can pay $50 a month. They still send you the phone first. It's mostly through T-Mobile, but T-Mobile rates are good, and I won't even call that, but I hope you find some way to deal with this loss of sight.
Well,
really, your personality matters more than your vision.
Good information.
I don't know any...
You've ended the hour, sorry to say.
Well, that may be a good thing.
We'll be praying for you and can't wait to hear next week's How It Was. Good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. All right, so on that note, we'll pick it up next hour. We'll talk to Victor, Isaac, Cindy, Eduardo, and Karen. Maybe you too on WGN Radio.
That little girl, she's a crazy baby, the sweetest in the world. She's my crazy baby. I asked her for a dance. She said, crazy baby. She put me in a trance. She's a crazy baby. And when she rock and roll, she steal your heart and soul. She's a crazy, crazy, a crazy baby. Well, let's go for a ride. She said, crazy baby. Let's cuddle side by side. She said, crazy baby. Well, how you like my car? She said, crazy baby. It's shining like a star, ain't it? Crazy baby. We broke down on the hill. The moon was standing still. She said, crazy, crazy, crazy baby. Well, everything is crazy when I crazy baby, your loving drives me wild. I know we'll have a child. That's a crazy, crazy, crazy baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Was a flip side in 1957 on VJ for the Spaniels' Crazy Baby. And that's C-R-A-Z-E-E, not Y, if you're looking for it. All right, and that was one of Jimmy P's six-pack. We have one more to go on that, and we will play it coming up. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio. Eduardo, are you with us? Oh, I guess we lost Eduardo. Well, he's been waiting a long time. All right, so let's see what we can do. Is Cindy in Chicago still with us?
Yes, I'm going to try to have control and not get banned from the radio.
Not get banned from the radio? What the heck are you going to talk about?
Well, I'm just so upset over what happened to Rita with her pacemaker not being connected.
Oh, I know. That was horrible.
I just have been on hold. I have PTSD from growing up with a certain, all I'm going to say is, I called Howard Ankin's office. His phone number is 312-6 million.
Okay.
I called them. She couldn't say for sure, but they probably would take her case. And I told, if she has the strength, I don't know how old she is to even deal with it. And anyhow, most hospitals in the Chicago area, except for Lutheran University of Chicago and the Northwestern system, have been bought out by private equity.
Yep.
And that, yeah. So, right.
No shock there either. Well, hopefully she is looking, A, to find better care, and B, to see if there's anything that she could be compensated. It was a horrible story, I agree.
Yeah, she's in the Lutheran system, but then anyhow, from my PTSD from growing up with a certain religious faith, maybe Howard Ankin or somebody could sue that Catholic hospital and they'll finally go out of business for good.
Yeah.
I have PTSD. I'm going to try and sleep. But then if she could call, the phone number is 312-6 million.
All right.
It's easy to remember.
Okay.
And that hospital was $2 million in arrears like 3 years ago, and hopefully they'll just go out of business.
Well, all right. Well, Cindy has spoken. All right. Appreciate that, Cindy.
All right.
Talk to you later. Yeah, indeed. Not casting aspersions at any particular facility. Don't know any of the details, but what I do know is it was a shock that somebody could go through procedure, have a pacemaker installed, and then to discover that implanted, I should say, and then to discover that it was never connected. Yeah, that absolutely could be life-threatening. And, of course, depending upon the extent of the injury, that would depend on whether or not a suit could be successful. But it is one of those stories that you say, how on earth could that happen? Karen in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, how are you? You know, when you were talking about hospitals, I know when you call 911 here in Chicago, it frustrates the heck out of me because they will only take me to St. Francis. They won't take me where I want to go.
Well, that's probably the
closest. I have no choice.
Yeah, that's probably the closest.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
It's the closest one, whether you want to go there or not. The reason I called was, I had an idea I thought maybe might help Jim. I wonder if he would like another blind person to correspond with. And what I'm thinking is, I know he has problems with some internet and all of that. Now, I'm old school, and one of my favorite ways to do it is by cassette. And if he has a cassette recorder, that will work for me.
All right. Talk back and forth, basically mailing cassettes?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
My girlfriend moved to Arizona, and at that time, neither one of us had any idea how to any of the high-tech stuff or anything. And she and I used to call each other, but we also corresponded by cassette.
Well, you know, at this point, though, and I understand in the past it made sense to do that because long-distance rates were a fortune, but now, since long-distance is included in any plan you want, it makes more sense to do it by phone.
Yeah. I didn't know if he was comfortable with that.
Well, I think it's a lot easier than a cassette.
Yeah. I was thinking of that because if he was having trouble operating things like the cassettes, have big buttons and there's only six of them in.
Right. I don't think so. That's my gut is that's not doesn't make sense. But phone calls might, and maybe he would like someone to converse with. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold. I'll have John get your number, and I will when we next hear from Jim, we'll get his number if he is interested, and we'll put you back in touch with you.
Great. I'd be happy to correspond with him.
Okay, or at least talk. All right, hang on. Don't go away.
Oh, sure.
All right, so there you have it. 888-876-5593 is my number, but we'll put Karen on hold, and we'll get her number. And then if Jim would like somebody, and that actually, a buddy system like that is a great idea. Somebody else who is facing the things that you face, and in some cases has surmounted the things that you're facing. That would be a wonderful help. Isaac is on the south side. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
I'm good. I forgot, what is the lady's name who was talking about the clown pictures?
Linda in Richland Park.
Okay, Linda. Yes, you got the right song when you played the OJs. But I want to request, there's a few songs I want to request. So one of them, she kind of hinted at, which is a Nina Simone song, It Bees Like That. It Bees That Way Sometimes. Okay. I want to request that one. Wait a minute. I have a couple other ones. Okay. I think this one's kind of far out. He uses a synthesizer. I think it's a synthesizer. I don't know what it's called. It's Herbie Hancock, I Thought It Was You.
Okay.
It's kind of a repetitive song, so of course you don't have to play the whole thing. I would like to hear City of Angels by Bill Withers. I recently heard that for the first time. Being from L.A., is that common?
No.
Like, is that like a theme?
It didn't get a lot of airplay. Nope.
Really? Wow. Okay. I thought it was such a good song. Yeah. Ernestine Anderson.
Oh, okay.
Never Make Your Move Too Soon.
I
thought that was a fun little song. Yeah, moving on. So I finally got my grandmother to the breast cancer doctor.
Yeah.
And you were right for the most part of what you were saying. She has been on a the last time she saw this breast cancer doctor was in 2020.
Uh-huh.
And so she prescribed her, I think, anastrozole, and she had been on it basically for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And we haven't seen her since because getting her in and out of the house was kind of difficult. Uh-huh. So I got her there, and the breast cancer doctor, did a physical trying to feel for the lump, and they can't find the lump anymore.
Good.
They believe that the anastrozole has made it, I don't want to say disintegrate, maybe dissipate, but she said because she did not have surgeries, she believes that there's probably still cells there. But because it's such a slow-growing cancer,
right,
that she will probably outlive the cancer.
Exactly.
So that was good news.
Yes, it is good news. Yes, I agree.
Other than that, I've started a new job, and I've been trying to make sure that, my most important schedule, my most important job, of course, is taking care of my grandmother.
Right.
So any job that I take has to kind of work around that for the time being.
Uh-huh.
And I've been working as occupancy verifier.
Oh, really?
Contracted, through a mortgage company.
Okay.
And I get paid like maybe $6 or $7 a house or something like that. And I'm driving around, the south side of Chicago for the most part.
Uh-huh.
And I can hit like maybe 9 houses in an hour. So I'm like, it's not that bad. Like the pay is not that bad.
Right.
And I also started. It's a pick your own shift job, even though I think I want to quit it just because it's like, Jesus, kind of too hard being a server for like weddings and, you know, catered events and things like that. I got to work downtown in the old post office building, which I have not seen the interior of. It's been sitting vacant for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It's like a, it maybe takes up maybe a block, maybe two city blocks. It's a huge building. Back when we had all of those, what are they called? Mail order catalog companies in Chicago.
Sure.
Like, we had the biggest post office in the country.
Sure.
And so they built a new one next door to it that doesn't require so many stairs. So that one sat vacant, and they said that they couldn't do anything with it because it requires so much money to get rid of the asbestos and the lead. And so it really sat vacant for a long time, but they have transformed it, and I guess into condos. I don't know. I didn't go upstairs.
Wow, okay.
I didn't see the entire thing. But it was really nice, and I'm glad that they've preserved the building. But, yeah, that's mainly what I've been doing. So
wow. The occupancy check, then, that's interesting. There's two ways. One is you're just verifying it from the outside. The other is actually you're knocking on the door and finding out, is anybody living there? So are you?
Yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Okay.
Both.
Yeah, all right. Good, good. Yeah, there's a lot of companies like iViewIt and other online, services, and that's great. That's got to be a lot of fun.
It's interesting for sure. People are not did it a long time ago, and I didn't have a car, and so I felt it was too hard to try and get around the city without it. And at the time, I thought that people weren't that receptive because, like, I thought that that it meant if I was coming that their house was going into foreclosure, but now I learned that that's not necessarily the case.
Oh, of course not. No, they want to make sure while they're servicing that mortgage that it is not abandoned, all that.
Right.
No, it is not necessarily foreclosure at all. They need
to
know if that's the case. You know, obviously, if it's vacant or abandoned, yeah, it will go into foreclosure. But, I mean, if somebody's living in there, very often that's the best deal.
Yes, and that's why, like, the other day I had a guy come out, and I was like, you know, I'm here contracting through the mortgage company just to verify that someone lives here, and they had that his house had a lockbox on it and, like, might have been vacant and stuff, so that's what I was expecting, and when he came out, I was rather surprised, but, you know, once I explained what it was, he was really receptive and, like, you know, oh, no, go ahead, take your pictures. And he was trying to – I was telling him, like, no, now that I know someone lives here, it's even easier for me because now I just have to take some pictures and go. Like,
right.
if it's vacant, this guy died he went to the hospital, and so he never came back, and I had to talk to a neighbor to figure out what was going on.
Right.
And so that one, it took me a long time because I had to verify that nobody was in the house by checking water and all this other stuff. And so, like, when somebody's living there, I'm like, great, yes, it's making it way easier. It takes me maybe 10 minutes a house, maybe.
That's great. That's great.
Not even that.
I'll bet you're going to have a lot of stories as you continue to do this.
We'll see, yes. Yeah.
Right.
I had a guy living in a boarded up house. I felt bad for him.
Well, sometimes it's squatters too. That's the other thing. Do you have to determine if the right people are living there?
Not necessarily. They do ask me to ask, like, who is he? And he was kind of a wino, so he was explaining to me this whole story. It was like maybe 9 o'clock in the morning, and he was drinking like Wild Irish Rose on the porch, and he explained how this was his aunt's house and da da da. And so he gave me his phone number and his name to give to the mortgage company, and I was like, okay, sure, I'll do all that you ask. It was a very odd, but he was really receptive. I don't know why.
Wow. Yeah, there could be some great stories as you continue to go along on this job. I can't wait to hear about every one of them.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Riley.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
All right. Yeah. That's just ripe with all sorts of. Well, you know, obviously, I'm a soap opera fan in real life. All right. We'll get to Victor and Mitch and let's see, Eric. Oh, Eric's called. We haven't heard from Eric in a while. And Chris and Greenwood. All right. So there on WGN Radio.
Tears falling from my eyes, and I'm just beginning to realize I was wrong, so wrong. So come on back to me and say I am sorry about the things I said. The wine I drank, it must have went to my head. I was wrong, so wrong. So come on back to me and say,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That concludes Jimmy P. Six Pack. It is early Moonglows on Chance, 1953. Yeah, with Red Holloway's orchestra, don't you know? All right, so let us see what Victor in Silver Spring has to say for his bad self. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What's going on, Victor?
Well, 1050 did some work, and they were off the air for half a day, a couple of days ago. They're back on the air, better than ever.
And what are they doing?
If I had my VU meter from work, I'd love to see how hot they're running the station.
Well, we know at night it's 41 watts.
Yeah. I'm in downtown Silver Spring, so I don't have to worry about losing them.
Yeah.
There is a station that I like listening to. It's called Boss Radio 66.
Uh-huh.
And I've been listening to them for I don't know how many years, but I call in with requests, and they play them.
That's great.
And I've also asked for one of my favorite commercials, which they played for me.
Good.
And they have a feature called Back of the Station Wagon.
Okay.
1 o'clock East Coast time, Tuesday afternoon, and the last of Back of the Station Wagon, they played all the dance songs that you could think of.
Oh, good. Good, yeah, and they're an online station, and anybody can check out bossradio66.com.
Yes. I don't know how many requests I've made over the years, but they keep, you know, repeating them. And I call in with new requests, and one of the songs that you played, and I can't remember which song it was now, but they played it, and they also played a song that I heard with another program that played old records, and they played a 1911 song.
Hang on a minute.
Josephine, hang on a minute.
Don't go away. Stay where you are. I forgot about the news. Stay right there. We'll come back right after it.
So, don't be angry and drive me away. I knew I was wrong. Please let me stay. Well, I've been a fool, yeah. Who do you I know? But I realize now that I love you so. If you will forgive me for causing you this pain, I promise you, my darling, I wanna hurt you again. So don't be angry. Please do hear what I say. Well, give me a chance, dear. Don't drive me with it.
Don't WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Nabby Brown, don't you know, on Savoy, 1955, and that was actually one of Johnny Goen's requests, and he tried to call tonight, and we've been busy, and so it is that I got an email here, and let me find it here, because there is a new feature, on Soul of the City. You know, Sunday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight, Central Time. Well, now there's a Soul of the City spotlight at 8 p.m. every Sunday night. And this coming Sunday, it will feature Marvin Gaye, 8 songs at 8. So that sounds great. And Johnny's recording right now, preparing for the show. So that's Sunday night, 6 to midnight. And that is Central Time. All right, now back to Victor. And so, sorry about that, Victor. And yes, we were talking about big old 1050.
And also Boss Radio 66.
Yes, right.com.
And, I just can't believe what they played. I heard the Spanish version of My Baby Does the Hanky Panky.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard Get Off My Cloud in Japanese.
Okay.
And you never know what they're going to play.
Well, you know, I was looking at the...
interesting, and they give out the phone number if you want to... make a request.
I was looking at the songs from the back of the station wagon that you mentioned, and I was impressed that they played everything from the WCKR Twist, which I also have, to I loved Emulsified by Rex Garvin. So, it's great.
Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to yak at you. Personally, I'm going into the hospital on May 1st as an outpatient.
Okay.
They're going to repair the damage that I had, prostate cancer, and they put the seeds in and did a lot of damage.
Oh.
So I'm looking forward to the corrective surgery, and that's on May 1st. So
all right.
I hope people will pray for me that I can get through this, and maybe I'll become more mobile after the surgery.
Wow, so that's a week from tomorrow. That's May 1st.
Yes, May 1st.
Friday, May 1st, a week from tomorrow. And are they hoping that this will be a 100% reversal? Like, hopefully you will have no more problems with this?
Yeah, they think they can fix me up.
All right, good.
The one thing that they need to do is to open the stricter and figure out how to keep that open because the scarring from the radiation keeps closing it. And
a
couple other things.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you that was highly unusual, but it's not. Now, the fact that it happens, unfortunately, and they never tell you about that when you're agreeing to do the radiation, all that, they never exactly tell you all that might happen. But the fact that it happens so often, that gives me hope that they will be able to reverse this.
I'm sure they can. It's in my case, I understand it's I didn't have that much damage, but they
could
fix it. And I remember when they put the seeds in, they told me one of the things on the instruction sheet, don't let your grandkids sit on your lap.
Oh, geez, all right. That's funny. But, So, all right. Well, hopefully this will be just a non-event, but we'll be praying for you, and especially the night before, because it's a tough night no matter what.
Yes.
And, you know, it never gets easier. I wish I could tell you there was some great thing you could do, but if there is, I don't know what it is. So,
But anyway, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I'll let everybody know what happens once I get back home.
The
one thing I like about it, I was told they'll do the corrective surgery, and then I can go home.
Right, exactly. Well, here we are praying that it's uneventful and a complete cure, but keep us posted.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Victor. All right. Yeah, man, I don't know what it is about the night before a surgery. Man, oh, man, it's like the worst night on earth. And I unfortunately think I'm absolutely not alone in that assessment. Eric is in Minneapolis. Eric, welcome back to WGN Radio. How have you been?
I've been pretty good for the most part, Raleigh, and really missed talking to you. I was on the road, and like I said, I think the last time we talked, I was telling you about my episode with the money that got shaded or
right.
whatever by
did you get
I never heard of before.
Right, right. Well, it happens, and that's why anybody who has an inactive account, man, you got to do something every year or so, or you'll get those notices, and sometimes you get them after the fact.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I learned my lesson there, but it kind of worked out in some way. It worked out pretty good for me because some of them were cards. Gift card type thing. So now I got that converted into cash.
Yay.
Which is what I wanted to do anyway.
Yeah, no, that is
and
good.
I could, yeah, and they wouldn't let me do it.
Right.
So, you know, just any kind of like straightforward kind of way. And now since this happened, that's the only way. So what they do, state of Florida gives you a, they give you a check.
Yeah, and no, I know. I know, and that is nice.
Yeah, I mean, and I actually got it a little sooner than expected. I was a bit of a squeaky wheel and ended up getting a little grease, you know, because I was kind of anxious to get it. Because the whole process was about 1 year almost.
Yeah.
From the time I discovered the whole mess to the time I got the check and was able to deposit it and everything, it was just about 1 year. And they told me, I talked to the lady. I mean, the people that worked for the state there were really nice people. And they didn't have anything to do with it. They're just doing their thing. But she said that they're so backed up. I mean, there's so much property and cash and cards or whatever that goes. It's in a, like, and before this happened to me, I had no idea the amount or the to the, you know, the level that this stuff goes on. I mean, maybe you knew about it. I don't know. But
yeah.
It's they said they're just literally swamped. They're like months behind because they had some bad weather. They had a, not this winter, but a year ago, they had that snowstorm that dropped 8 inches along I-10 between like Pensacola and Tallahassee. So they actually missed like a week's worth of work, she said. And then that just threw everything, like discombobulated everything. And they got super behind and they just had more property to deal with than they said in a normal year. So,
well, and, but, you know, the thing of this is these are usually state laws. And so the banks are not doing this on their own. When something's inactive, and it's different in each state, how long and different in each, you know, financial institution, what they'll do. But eventually it goes into escheatment. And it's considered abandoned property or unclaimed property, and it winds up in the Treasury Department of whatever state. So, you know, an account can go dormant long before it winds up as escheatment, because when it goes dormant, basically usually what happens is you wind up having like a service charge each month or something like that. But eventually it goes to the state, and that's true in every state. But anybody who's got an account at any bank or savings, you know, whatever, in any form, do something at least once a year, preferably every 6 months, even if it's just, you know, putting a dollar in, do something. Yeah.
That just reflects some kind of activity.
Right, exactly.
I think that's the key to the whole thing is like, I mean, I apparently like, you know, I didn't disregard it. I knew it was there, but I was just like, there was no need. So I was just kind of getting around
it and
leaving it alone. And I had no idea something like that could happen. I've never heard of that
situation. Every state has laws about that. And generally, it's 3 to 5 years somewhere in there that every state will have it. And it's a requirement that the bank turn it over. It's not a choice. So never blame the bank for that. They got no choice. Now, if in the meantime they've been dinging you, like adding fees or whatever, that's their choice. But when it gets to the point that it hits that magic number, it is escheatment. And at that point, you know, that money goes to the state treasurer, no matter what the state.
I found it interesting that they didn't tack on any interest to the money.
No, they don't have to do that. Nope. They do not have to do that.
If it's
And you know,
if it's the other way around,
of course,
they'll charge you.
Yeah, right. You screw up on your taxes. My God, all manner of hell will come down on you. But no, it doesn't. And I'll tell you what, a lot of times it is not necessarily a bank account or whatever. Maybe you've moved and maybe you had a little stock that paid a dividend, $30 or whatever. Well, eventually, if the company you've invested in can't get you that check, they have to turn it over to the state. And,
that's exactly it.
Every state has an online database where you can check to see if you're owed any money. And it's interesting to do that because invariably you'll find something. Now, very often it won't be worth filing, but, $20 here, $30 there, whatever, because as you know, you had to substantiate who you were. You had to give them your Social Security number and all sorts of other things. They don't just hand it over willingly.
Yeah. No, there was a process I had to go through. And then even when I picked up the check, even though they had all that already, mm-hmm. I had to do it again before they hand me over the check.
Exactly.
And for me, it was a pretty substantial amount of money. So, they weren't just going to, do it. And apparently, once that gets turned over to the state, mm-hmm. to whatever company or bank or whatever, they're totally out of the picture.
Of course they are. Of course they are.
Yeah.
Because legally what's happened is it's considered abandoned property. And the bank, as the fiduciary, is forced to turn it over to the state. And then they're completely out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the deal.
I wanted to make a couple observations from the road. So I was down in Tallahassee, and then now I'm coming back up towards Minneapolis and Chicago area. But I swung a little detour because I wanted to go to Del Taco.
Uh-huh.
The California original. You're probably familiar with Del Taco.
Oh, yes. Have the T-shirts.
Yeah. So they closed a lot of them in the South. Like Tallahassee used to have one. But when I went down there this year, I drove to go to it. The place was abandoned. It was closed.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the franchisees that have a lot of the ones in Georgia and throughout the South there, in that region, they all shut down.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, I was really jonesing for some Del Taco.
Well,
I found out they had one in Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
So, but Huntsville's about, it's like 20 miles off of 65. When
yes,
you're going
it is.
On 65,
yes, it is.
You got to really make an effort to get to it. So I went over there and I was able to pick up my tostadas and some of the ranch chicken tacos and the mm-hmm. mini tacos that I like there. So that worked out. But the thing about the discovery of Huntsville, it was unbelievable to me, how busy that place was. Like the traffic and the,
it's got of course NASA's in Huntsville, and a number of other things are there. There's a ton of PhDs per capita in Huntsville, more than people would realize. Huntsville's got a lot going on for it. Now, the deal is why you're seeing the closings of the Del Tacos is my guess, and this is just a guess, but they were mm-hmm. acquired by Jack in the Box. So
I think I read or heard that at one time.
They actually were just a little California chain. They started in the 60s, 64, I think, in Yermo or something. And then by the 70s, they really started increasing. That's when I got the T-shirts. And in 88, they bought Noggle's, which was a competing taco chain. And then they started to, their deal was we're open 24 hours and all that. And that was a big deal. And they really started growing all over the place by... I'd say 20 years ago, they had doubled in size. They had 500 restaurants or what have and all sorts of other things. And then, of course, here comes Jack in the Box, who buys them. And that was in 2021.
Yeah, I don't believe they were they were primarily in California and maybe a few other places in the West.
Right.
I don't think they ever ventured east until in the last 5 years or so.
Well,
they started buying some places in the East.
When Jack in the Box got them, they really started that big time. So
yeah, so I made the detour and I just saw this thing about Huntsville. I figured because it's got to be a pretty big white collar population of workers, and but I was just kind of curious. I was going to try to figure out what the population there was and what kind of, you know, what housing costs and things, because there's a lot of newness and freshness to that place. Birmingham, it's kind of very old.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. I'd say it's close to 500,000 now in the metro. And so that makes it the second largest metro behind Birmingham in the state. So I'm pretty sure that metro has 500,000 people. And so there's a lot of interest. There used to be a used computer store that I'd go to all the time and loved it. Got a lot of computers there. So in any event.
In Huntsville?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And
So you're familiar with the city then?
Yeah, well, I lived in Chattanooga, which is not far.
Uh-huh.
So
they have a minor league baseball team affiliate there for the Los Angeles Angels. They have their nickname is the Trash Pandas.
Right. Okay.
The Huntsville Trash Pandas.
Makes sense.
So and at Toyota, it's a Toyota Stadium, and I went by and took a look at it. But there's a lot of nice housing right around that stadium area, and businesses like. Restaurants and stuff.
Yeah,
of course. And a very, very upscale, very, you know, nice and modern-looking places. I could see myself maybe, like, trying to live there maybe for a short while or just experience it for a while, you know. But it seemed pretty nice. And the fact that, you know, you got a probably a pretty intelligent type of crowd there, you know, with the aerospace workers and stuff.
I was on the air there for, I don't know, about 5 or 6 years at WBHP. So they carried, they carried my show. And that was nice. That was nice. Yeah, I always liked Huntsville. All right, well, good. So now here...
Go ahead.
What I want to say is, you know, when we were last talking, it was the dead of winter. And, of course, not necessarily Minnesota the best place to be. But now, I hope you're going to enjoy the summer.
Yeah, I look forward to coming back, and the energy's good in the summer months. People try to make the most of the time, you know, and it's a good place to be. But I think I'm going to also travel a little bit more, some places I haven't been to, near there or maybe down towards Texas and stuff. So I'm just going to keep the RV moving and everything and just kind of play it by ear. No, I never really have any plans. I just... kind of like when I'm ready to go, I go, and I just never know when that's going to be. But I like being back up in here. Actually, I picked up GN in Tallahassee just on my tabletop radio.
Yeah,
unbelievable. One morning, it was kind of a little bit cool.
Yeah,
the atmosphere and the air was cool in the morning, and the signal came through. Like Bob Stratt, I heard him come on with his Chicago song. Song that he plays. Does anybody know what time it is? And opens up the show. So, I was like, it was kind of neat, you know, to pick it up like that way and stuff. So, I was gonna ask for a song. I think I've been listening to Robert Lamb on the highways here, and all his solo stuff and everything. But he has a song, and I'm sorry I can't give you more information, but just off the top of my head. I believe that he does a duet with, do you know the artist Phoebe Snow?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But she's no longer with us, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know when this was done, but he has a song on one of his albums, his solo projects, and it's like a duet with Phoebe Snow, and man, is it good. It's like the two voices just complement each other.
Okay.
And I think it's called... The song might be called Hold On to Forever.
Okay. I think I have heard on that.
That effect. But, that's – and there's some other ones, too. But that one for sure that I'll call you on another night on some of the other ones. But I know you get a lot of requests and stuff. But that one, I think you would enjoy it because you like Bobby Lamb a lot, I think. I could tell. Like, you kind of like – you hear his solo stuff too, away from Chicago, I think. I don't know if you ever got a chance to hear his.
I think the duet you're talking about was called The Best Thing.
Best Thing, yeah, was it with B.B. Snow?
The Best Thing. Also, Hold On Till Forever was also, both of them. You are ending the show tonight, and I realize I'm about to, if I don't do a commercial break, I'm really ending the show tonight. So call me again soon and keep me posted from the road, and I promise I'll give you Robert Lamb and Phoebe Snow soon.
Okay, thank you, Riley.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. And, oh, man, I was hoping we'd get to Mike from Elmwood Park talking more about Dick Biondi and Mitch in Baghdad getting an update and Chris, but I have a feeling that this is my swan song. I could be wrong, so I might be back, but otherwise, then that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank you for calling. It's what makes the show a pleasure to do. We'll talk to you next week, Monday Night Trivia, and, of course, a replay tomorrow night, but live Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio.
Pump Price Predators, plus Rolling Vengeance, and Crappy Gilmore. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Gas Guzzler, Station to Predation, Hella Differential, The Pity of Angels Getting Hosed Pig Time. One gas station near downtown notorious for charging probably the highest prices in L.A., $8.71 a gallon for regular. California steaming as unsuspecting drivers figure out the bad news as they fill baby fill. Ranking it to the limit. Seems everybody wants to fuel the world. Blitzkrieg, whoa, Canada, crash test monies in Toronto, the hood, have turned tow truck turf wars into the great bright north. Criminals and kingpins control the terrifying towing business as threats, beatings, shootings, and executions result from free-for-all chase sprees for wrecks to riches, Toronto Life reports. Lawyers targeted, a mass shooting at a rival's bar, even a cop providing a police radio to help the Wild West record deckers. You book 'em, they'll crook 'em. Fool sample. At the Culligard Golf Classic in Arizona, Johnny Knoxville Daly chipped a tough uphill shot toward the green when suddenly he started slip-sliding away like he was in the middle of some messed-up mulligan mudslide. The stagger prance belly flop prompted his trooper looper to swooper in on the super blooper, but John Daly, ever so loosey-goosey, posted the posterior pratfall on social media declaring, on today's episode of Jackass, now you see me, now you don't. He didn't win the tournament, but sure scored a role in fun. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.